My guest, Carmen Bin Laden, lived inside the Bin Laden clan for 9 years, from 1976 to 1985. Her husband, Yeslam, from whom she has been separated since 1988, is one of Osama Bin Laden's brothers. Yeslam and Osama have different mothers. Their father had 22 wives. Carmen says that during the years she lived among the Bin Ladens, Osama came to exemplify everything that repelled her about that opaque and harsh country. In her new memoir, Inside the Kingdom, she writes about her life in Saudi Arabia and why she couldn't bear to raise her daughters there. In 1985, she moved with her husband and daughters to Switzerland. She was born and raised there, the daughter of a Swiss father and Persian mother. As a girl, she spent summer vacations in Iran. Carmen and Yeslam met in Geneva, and after they got engaged, moved to California, where they both went to college. But he later insisted they move to Saudi Arabia. I asked Carmen Bin Laden how many times she met Osama.
I met Osama 3 times, but because Osama would not want to see the wife of his brother, because he was a very strict religious man, and in Saudi society, you don't see the wife of your brother.
So were you covered in a veil when you met?
No, I was playing with Wafa. And
your daughter?
Wafa, my daughter, Wafa. I was playing with her at the entrance, and somebody knocked at the door and asked for my husband. And I instinctively opened the door and find myself face to face with a very tall man who, as soon as he looked at me, because I was unveiled, I had a jeans and a T-shirt on, he turned around and started walking away. And I kept walking after him, saying, well, Yeslam is here. And the person who was with him, which was his nephew, told me, this is Osama. Then when he said, this is Osama, I realized. Then I turned back, went inside, called my husband, and went in another room to let him alone with my husband.
So, was it shocking to you that your family had a member who was, you know, the world's leading terrorist?
Of course, it's shocking. Every act of terrorism, it's shocking to me. Shocking and difficult because my daughter are having the same name, you know. Then shocking, every act of terrorism, it's... shocks me.
Now, when you grew up in Switzerland.
Yes.
When you moved with your husband to his home in Saudi Arabia, your freedoms were basically taken away from you. What are some of the things that you could no longer do?
You know, I couldn't go out of the house. Everything that we take for granted in Europe, in Occident, you couldn't do. But, you know, I was still privileged compared to my other sister-in-law because my husband would involve me in what he was doing. I remember even one night he took me at the headquarters of the organization and where everything was closed to show me his offices. Compared to my other sister-in-law, because of my relation with my husband, I had some privilege, you see. But I couldn't drive, I couldn't get out of the house, but I was not the only one. Everybody, all the women used to live this way.
Did you ever say to your husband, if you really loved me, how could you possibly expect me to live like this? To live like a prisoner in my own home?
Because, you know, I did realize that I was privileged compared to the other sister-in-laws. Most of his brother, they would come and discuss business with him. He would let me stay in the room. I was aware that if he went to Bakker house or Salem house, their wife, if they discussed business, their wife would not be allowed to stay in the room. And Jeddah was changing so fast, and it was challenging. And that was one of the things that made Jeddah more bearable. And the other things that you have to keep in mind, that when the wealth and the change becomes so, the material wealth, when the Jeddah start building... so fast, then I wanted to convince myself, and I thought, I really believed that if the country is changing so fast materially, then morally it will change. At the beginning, the first 5 years, I thought that this difference between Saudi Arabia and the Western world would fade away. Then, with time, I realized, no, they would welcome any material change, but they would never welcome any cultural change in their society.
You had many sisters-in-law living in the compound. Did any of them yearn for the kind of freedoms that you wanted, or did they think that you were wrong to even want them?
I know that some of my sister-in-law envied the relation I had with my husband. But what surprised me there, that the worries that I had was not the same worried. I mean, for them, I have the impression that freedom doesn't mean the same thing that it means to me. For me, it was my worries that when my daughter will grow up, or, you know, if something happened to Yeslam, I would be under the tutorship of another male relative. And because my family was not from Saudi Arabia, it would have to be from the Bin Laden family, that my daughter would be under the tutorship of maybe a very strict brother-in-law that would be their uncle. But the woman there, they didn't seem to mind that.
So if something had happened to your husband while you were living in Saudi Arabia, you couldn't have just left the country with your children?
I think it would have been very, very difficult, because I would have, you know, they would want the girls to stay in Saudi Arabia, being brought under the Saudi culture, which to be submissive to that culture and to behave like proper Saudi girls. And for me, that was unthinkable. That was one of my main worries, you know. I had that always in the back of my mind, you know, this fear of the future for my daughter.
My guest is Carmen Bin Laden. Her new memoir is called Inside the Kingdom. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Carmen Bin Laden. Her husband, from whom she has been separated since 1988, is one of Osama Bin Laden's brothers. She's written a memoir about her 9 years living with the Bin Laden family. It's called Inside the Kingdom. She now lives in Switzerland, where she was born and raised. You and your husband moved from Saudi Arabia to Geneva in 1985. You were happy to get out so you could get your life back and your freedom back. And he wanted to move because of business reasons?
No, it just happened that he was not feeling well, and he decided that he would stay in Geneva. And I decided that, you know, I took that opportunity to enroll the girls at school, because I realized that they were growing up, and I wanted them to have the kind of freedom that they would not have in Saudi Arabia.
So, if this isn't too personal, how did the marriage change when you were in Geneva? Was he comfortable then with you doing all the things that a Western woman would do?
No, I think, you know, the problem was that as long as the girls, they were younger and they were considered as children, Yeslam would allow me to dress them the way I wanted to educate them the way I wanted to. But slowly, slowly, I did realize, as the girls start getting older, that up to then, I thought Yeslam was very westernized, because he would let me bring up the girl the way I would do it if I was living in Switzerland, you see. Then as the girl started getting in their teenage years, then I realized that he was more Saudi. He was looking at their jeans, you know, that they were too tight, for example. And he started to expect from the girl to behave more like Saudi girls. You see, and I think that was what scared me.
What has it been like for your children to have the Bin Laden name ever since September 11th?
Well, you see, my daughter, they paid a very emotional price before 9/11 because they were Bin Laden, because we had to fight for their freedom, you see, to be able to live like a Westerner. And 9/11 changed that they were brought up with all the value of the Western world, but with a name that deeply associated with a terror, with culture that is not theirs, then it's very, very difficult.
Have they thought of changing their names? Have you thought of changing your name?
But the truth always catch, you know.
Right, so it would look like you were hiding something.
Exactly.
I know that you and your husband are separated, and I don't know if you talk at all or if you only communicate through attorneys. But after September 11th, did you have an urge to call him and say, you know, it's your brother. It's your brother who was behind this. Like, that's so... I mean, did you have an impulse to just, like, talk to him and kind of share with somebody who understood what it was like to be related in some way to bin Laden?
No, because I didn't have any contact with my husband. You know, my husband doesn't even acknowledge his daughter when he sees them on the street.
I see.
Because they are too westernized for him, you know.
One of your daughters lives in New York. She went to Columbia Law School.
Yes, she did.
Does she still live in New York?
No, unfortunately not. She lives between Geneva and London.
Oh, because like on September... In 2001, she was living just a few blocks away from the World Trade Center, but she was living with you on September 11th. She was visiting in Geneva.
Yeah, she came for the summer because she had graduated in May from Columbia, and she came at the beginning of June. She came in Geneva, and she was supposed to come back the 15th of September back to New York. But unfortunately, this tragedy happened, and I was advised to keep her in Switzerland.
And so now she's in the position of sending out resumes, I guess, or she was in the position at some point of sending out resumes with the bin Laden name on it.
Yeah, but I think it's very difficult for the people because to have, for a person to hire somebody with that name, and anyhow, that was one of the difficulties, you know?
Right, right. Does she have a job?
Not yet.
Do you think it's because of the name?
Well, I think at the beginning she had a job offer that were all withdrawn. Then I think it was because of the name, but, you know, we will see what will happen.
Well, Carmen bin Laden, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you for having me.
Carmen bin Laden's new memoir is called Inside the Kingdom. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our engineer is Bob Purdick. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Roberta Shorrock directs the show. I'm Terry Gross. We'll close with a track from a new CD by pianist and composer Dave Burrell, who we hope will join us soon for a concert. The CD is called Expansion. Here's his version of They Say It's Wonderful.